If you've ever considered buying a business and you've thought about maybe that's a great thing to do to add to your revenue or even to start something and get out from under an employer and do your own thing, then this episode is going to be for you. I'm actually going to talk about a real life case example of a client of mine that is right now going through the process of buying another business, what that process has been like to make sure that it's a good purchase, some pitfalls that he has actually run into that we've been navigating together, and how to make sure that if you go down this route, that you're making a good purchase and a good acquisition. So let's go ahead and get started.
Hey friend, welcome to the Small Business Finance Podcast. Do you want confidence and clarity with your business finances? Do you find yourself up late at night searching for tax deductions, how to track your business finances, or for QuickBooks tips? Do you wake up with big, ambitious goals, but you end up feeling confused and frustrated because accounting and tax is really foreign? Hi, I'm Tiffany. I've heard this so many times from clients who used to feel this way. They felt overwhelmed about what to do with their numbers and wish that they could stop the financial madness. They wanted clarity and the ability to grasp the financial basics, know who to call when they had a question, and to stop worrying about owing money to the IRS, but they thought they weren't good with numbers, and the overwhelm kept them stuck without any solid financial plan until they realized that business systems are the ticket to gaining financial confidence. In this podcast, you will learn step-by-step systems, easy-to-understand financial tips, and mindset transformation so that you will gain financial confidence as an entrepreneur. Dust off your spreadsheet, warm up your coffee, and let's get going.
One of the best ways, in my opinion, to really get started in business is to acquire one. Some people, I would say, I'm going to put this caveat out there, are not quite ready to dig into a really big, robust business right from the beginning. So I would put the caution out there that, yes, it's a really great way to get started fast, but if you're not careful, the acquisition can be so big and so fast that you will really be in over your head quickly if you're not careful. But it is a really great way to have a business that you know has done well. A lot of people go into business with the desire to just replace their income. They don't want to work for someone else, but they need to replace that income that they made working for someone else. And so they create their own job, if you will. And so what happens is that when they get to the very end of their tenure as a business owner, then a lot of times they just shut those businesses down. They don't even sell them because they don't think there's value in the business. And they actually are wrong. And there is value. It may not be a ton of value, but there is value there. And there are people out there that want to buy these businesses for all the reasons I've already mentioned, mainly because they want to just get rid of their own W-2 job. So what happens whenever you're looking to buy a business is that once you find the target, you find the business that you are interested in, you feel like it's worth looking into, then you typically have a conversation with the seller, start putting some high-level parameters of what it would look like. They usually, if the business is not already listed for sale, but you have found it and you feel like this would be a good acquisition, then there may be a bigger ramp to get to the point of actually talking numbers because you've surprised the owner and they weren't really thinking about selling the business. But if the business is listed, maybe it's listed with the broker and you are talking to the seller about the potential to acquire this business, the very first step is to get into an LOI, letter of intent. This letter of intent is basically stating that you are moving forward with the intention of acquiring this business. It does not mean that you are required to purchase it. The buyer actually still has an out in this contract, but you are then in conversations. You're in discussion of potential acquisition. You are going through a process called due diligence, and you are marching in the path to purchase. Again, there is still an opportunity to back out of that as the acquirer, as the buyer, but you have an agreement. That's what you are in the process of doing. So once you are under this letter of intent, the LOI, then the due diligence starts. And typically that LOI is going to indicate how many days you have to do due diligence. So in the example of my client, they are looking at buying this business. It has revenue of roughly $250,000 every year. It's a small business. It's an owner-operated business. He basically has a truck. It's an asset. There's not a whole lot in the business. It is not a very complicated business. I'm not going to talk about a lot of the details of exactly what they do for confidentiality purposes, but it's not a very complex business. And this particular client was already talking about starting this type of business. So then they found this business owner and then got into an agreement. So it made sense. They were already thinking about starting a business like this. And it's basically, this business already has relationships with these other vendors. And so this business owner can introduce them, hand over the torch to my client. And that way the business owner gets some cash in his pocket. I don't think he had the intention of ever selling. It's like most owner operated businesses. You don't really think about that. And so for him, it's a great payday to make. I think the sales price is going to be a couple $100,000. It's a great payday for him to get this check that he was not expecting. And I don't know how old the seller is, but I'm guessing he is getting closer to retirement age. I think he's probably mid to late 50s. And it's just the next step for him. Unexpectedly, I would imagine he was very happy to move forward with this. And so they entered into this due diligence process where they called me and said, we need to confirm the revenues, the expenses. We want your signature of approval on this acquisition. We want to make sure that there are no surprises, that what he says the business is making is actually what they're making, and that it's representative of what's going on. We want to make sure that there are no payroll tax issues. The guy has one employee, and just check the boxes. And so basically what happened is the seller gave me access to this QuickBooks file. I went in, started reviewing these numbers, and there were several, I would say, yellow caution signs. They could have been red flags. I'm being generous. Some of it is a bit of a red flag. And definitely things that I relayed to my client that needed to be resolved and fixed and corrected in order for me to feel good about this acquisition. And the buyer basically said, look, we're probably going to buy this business regardless. We just want to make sure that there is nothing out there that we are unaware of. And we want to make sure that we go in with eyes wide open. So I basically told the buyer, my client, that there were a few issues. So right now, at the time of this recording, it is April 2024. The last time they reconciled their QuickBooks, their bank statement, was November of 2022. So the financials that they had presented to my client for review for this acquisition were not correct because things were not reconciled. One of the questions that actually came up for my client is, does it matter if all of the transactions have been coded to the right accounts? Is there really an issue? Because that's actually what the seller did, is he went through and he tried to quickly reconcile these, what would that be, 15 months of records? No, longer than that, 17 months of records. And came up with a difference of $2,500 according to him. So I'm telling my client, look, that's possible that it's $2,500, but the reality is it's possible it's much larger than that. And the system has automatically reconciled down to $2,500. So I looked at the file, and sure enough, that's exactly what it was. There were a lot of transactions that were uncleared, and they were all deposits. And so essentially, what I determined was that the client had not been transacting properly in QuickBooks. There is a matching feature inside of QuickBooks Online that allows you to match your receipts from an expense perspective and your invoices from a receivable and client invoicing perspective with the transactions that download on the bank feed. So those transactions would be deposits, and they would then be withdrawals from the account for purchases, payroll, things like that. And things were not matched properly. So the difference between what QuickBooks was showing as the bank balance and that what the bank was actually showing was a difference of $170,000, 170,000, $170,000 difference. This is on a business that makes about $250,000 in revenue every year. That's a big difference. That's a problem. And so I'm talking to my client about this and trying to explain, like, look, it may not be a huge deal that it could be that their revenue is overstated. Now, this was these transactions that were outstanding. It's over the course of 2 or 3 years. So it may not be a massive change in revenue, but it is a change in revenue from what I'm seeing. And the other part of this is the seller, although not my client, has probably overpaid in taxes as a result. Side note, real quick, I have to put this plug in there. If you are not getting accurate bookkeeping done, then it is possible that you are overpaying in taxes. Honestly, it's probable that you're overpaying in taxes simply because things are not being done the right way. Trying to bootstrap it, do it yourself, it may save you a few dollars in what you're paying a vendor to do it, your CPA, an accountant, whatever, but most likely you're paying the government more than what you should be because you don't have good financials. And I think that's what the seller is doing, is he's overpaying in taxes, which is honestly sad because it's not like this is a huge business. He's filing on a Schedule C, so he's paying a bunch in self-employment tax. Honestly, the whole thing is not optimized. I'm not sure what his CPA had been doing for so long, but definitely not doing things properly. So basically what I told my client was that, look, you need to get with the seller. They're going to have to get their CPA to fix this. Probably not a huge deal based on the number of transactions, but it's going to take a couple of days. And so they need to get on this. And then once it's done, I'll look at it again and just confirm that everything looks appropriate and that it's correct. And I would say that's the biggest thing if you're looking to acquire a business. You've got to make sure the numbers are correct. And you want to make sure that your CPA is reviewing those financials, that you are able to look at documentation from the seller. What type of backup can they show you? Invoices to their customers, contracts. There's a myriad of different things, and every situation is going to be different, but you want to make sure it's a good purchase. And if there are any pitfalls, any areas of concern, you need to know those going into it. Otherwise, you could really end up in a mess, and that's definitely not what you want to do. So in the instance of my client, I feel like they will probably still go ahead with the purchase because in this instance, the asset, that there's a truck that comes with this purchase and the value of the asset, it makes this kind of a no-brainer acquisition. But that's not always the case. Sometimes if there are facts that come out after the fact that you did not know during due diligence, it could have shut down the deal. And would have saved you a lot of heartburn and headaches and all sorts of issues. So I hope this has been helpful. Acquiring a business is exciting. It is a lot of work, but it's exciting to not have to start something from scratch. When you start from scratch, there's just a whole big other learning curve. I think it's hard either way. Business ownership is not for the faint of heart, but it's fun. And so I hope this has been helpful. Feel free to share this with a fellow business owner or a friend that's looking to acquire a business, and help them avoid some of these pitfalls as well. And if you would, leave me a 5-star review. It really helps. Go now, go to the podcast and go ahead and leave a 5-star review, because I know it's going to happen. You're going to get done with this episode and then not do it because something is going to grab your attention. But it is very helpful to me and I appreciate it so much. And with that, I'm so appreciative of you listening, and I cannot wait until next time.